Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Cosi. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Cosi starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Cosi.org.
If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Oh, hello. Welcome to Ruined.
Hello.
I'm Hallie.
I'm Allison. Wow. If we're going to do a big year-end blowout episode, shouldn't it start with the most awkward and reminiscent of the early days opening to this podcast?
Oh, absolutely. Like, when you say blowout, you mean like when a baby's diaper blows
yeah.
out.
Yep,
you
know that's what this is going
to
be.
Where you have to leave Target in disgrace. Yeah, that's the kind of blowout we're having right now. Oh, also, this is Ruined, a horror movie podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for you.
Allison, how you doing?
I mean, I'm doing okay. How are you doing?
Well, you know, I'll tell you, it's 2022, man.
Pull back the curtain.
Really put me through the ringer.
Well, it's almost over.
Yeah, I was in what one might call a car crash yesterday. And I was in an Uber, my endless search for an apartment, looking to a place. And we were on the 101 here in beautiful Los Angeles.
On the 101.
And so it is middle of the day, but it's Saturday, so it's like busy, but not crazy. And we're sort of, you know how like there's a lineup to get off the exit, mm-hmm. right? Because there's a light at the top of the exit. So we're in line. Literally, so we come to a stop. The car behind us just plows into us.
Oh,
which
God.
Makes me think they were on their phone.
Yes, 100%. I assume everyone in LA is on their phones when they're driving.
Which is fucking terrifying.
Yeah.
And I felt horrible. And also my head whipped back and my jaw like slammed shut. So then afterwards, I'm like afraid to like turn my head. But, you know, the driver drove off. Obviously, everyone exchanged information. And then I ended up going with ex-boyfriend of the pod, Dave. We were already meeting up to get lunch, and he went with me to the urgent care.
Okay, smart.
And, you know, and this is a great, reflection of what life could be like as I choose militant optimism as we go into 2023, which is the doctor came in, and I was really paranoid. Like, I want an x-ray. Like, I just want to make sure. I mean, as a woman who has had spine surgery.
Yeah.
I was like, just fucking look at my spine.
Just look at it. Just tell me.
You know what I mean? I don't want to wake up in 4 or 5 days unable to get out of bed,
yes.
you know? So I said, can you just do that? And he's like, well, let me just like look at it first. And he like sort of manipulated me, and it wasn't so bad. So he's like, I think that this is probably just soft tissue damage here, some muscle relaxers. And then
love
he goes, and I love this shit. So if you ever meet me in real life, feel free to have these conversations with me because I love it. He goes, you know, there's just a lot of misinformation right now coming from the right. And clearly he wanted me to be like, yes, absolutely. Let's talk about it, which I was.
Right.
And he goes on to tell me, he's like, you know, a lot of all the problems that in our society right now are because we never dealt with the original American sin of slavery. You should read a book called Democracy in Chains.
This all came out at urgent care after a car accident?
Yeah, and I don't even know how we got from one to the other. I was literally it was in a gown with like my back out. And I'm just like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And it was just a nice day. Like, he's a 75-year-old white doctor.
It's nice to hear that somebody his age can be, like, open and willing. Not that, like, everybody that age is, like, unwilling to talk about the real problems of America's foundation. But, like, you know, it's nice when it's an older white person that is.
Yeah. And it was really nice. I was like, well, I guess if I hadn't been hit by a car, I wouldn't have had this lovely edifying conversation with this older man. And I feel like I should read the book. Absolutely. And if anyone has read the book, Democracy and Change, let me know. I really want to start a book club, but I want to do it in real life. I'm very hot on in real life events.
Oh.
I think it's important. And that's why I think a comedy is so important. Yes. I think live art, live theater, yeah. it really is so important, especially right now. It's like, because you could just stare at your phone and go insane. Yeah. I think it's important,
and
even
sit
if you're
on
not
your computer.
Performing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So go see art. Go yes. see the Nutcracker this Christmas season or holiday season.
What information I know you don't remember, but I'm so curious how he got there about misinformation. I guess, like, was it about, like, medical misinformation at first?
You know, I couldn't remember. yes, you know what it was? It was about COVID misinformation. Yeah. And it's like, yeah. And we also talk about, like, you know, like, abortion, like, how all of these things fall to medical practitioners.
Yeah.
Who are, like, and that's what I said. I was like, you know, I don't know. It's like all these things that are changing. It's like, it does fall to you guys to have to, like, figure it out. Great, we live in California.
Right.
And that's the thing is, I remember when Trump was president, they would just talk about, like, oh, liberals in a bubble. Thank God. I mean, like, I feel so, that's the issue is that the bubble should be expanded.
Yes, bigger
not,
bubble.
Not, oh, you live in a bubble. You don't know how we live. We see how you live. And as a queer person, as a woman, I refuse to be like, that's the normal way or like, that's how people should be.
No,
living.
No, no.
You know what I mean?
No, we should all be one big bubble. And the people who don't want to live in it can leave.
And unfortunately, I don't know where they're going to go because I plan on having the queer and trans bubble surround the earth.
Yes.
I mean, is that
fire themselves off into space with Elon Musk. Go live on Mars with that fucking jackass and get the fuck out of here.
Announce the civilian, like the first civilian crew of like the first SpaceX.
Oh,
moon.
Yeah.
And literally, like somebody retweeted, it's like, my condolences to these people's families. Like Steve Aoki's on there. It's like, guys, you're all going to die up there.
Yeah.
It's actually quite a big thing to go to the moon. That's why we don't do it all the time, you know? And you being a DJ, I'm just concerned when a gasket blows, what are you going to do?
You know? Like, are there no professional astronauts going on that flight?
Probably none that were willing to pay Elon Musk millions of dollars. I mean, I assume that's why they're on there, you know? They're also all hot. And it's like, we don't need hot astronauts. Astronauts do enough for us.
Yeah.
You don't have, I mean, there are plenty of hot astronauts, but it's just like, that shouldn't be the focus. You should be focusing on space.
Aww.
Anywho.
That just makes me think of that fabulous photo of that one astronaut who, like, they have those professional photos that they take with, like, in front of the American flag, and they're in the spacesuit, and his two big dogs are on his lap.
Yes.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, let me see. What was that guy's name?
I forget.
Leland D. Melvin.
Mm-hmm.
Icon. Yeah, just Google astronaut dogs, and it's his two very cute, very excited, happy dogs.
They're so happy.
And him in his astronaut suit. And he has the biggest smile on his face.
That photo,
this is a
like,
man who's living right.
Is Prozac. Like, it just is, like, it just makes you feel good to look at it. It's really nice.
Ooh. Yeah, that's good.
So if you're ever low on your SSRIs or antidepressants or anything else, just look at that photo of Leland Melvin.
Leland D. Melvin. He served on the space shuttle Atlantis as a mission specialist on two different trips. And he was then named NASA Associate Administrator for Education. And he's retired now. But my God, to go to space twice.
That's so
much. This man went to space twice.
When I lived in LA, I wouldn't go to the West Side twice. Like,
I'm on the West Side and I don't want to be here. it reminds me of, did you ever see that SNL sketch that A.D. Bryant did about like when they went to space and there wasn't another spacesuit for the third female astronaut?
That sounds familiar.
Basically, they didn't have another girl spacesuit, which I don't even know what that means. I mean, I'm sure there's a reason. Yeah. It has to be. But she just talks about like, no, that's fine. I see space through the window and that's close enough for me. And it's just like her trying to be happy for her colleagues.
I'm here.
It's very fucking funny. Allison, how are you doing?
I'm fine.
How's your spine? How's your vertebrae?
Generally fine.
Good.
Been okay. Knock on wood here that it stays okay. I will say I'm too old to sit on the ground.
Yeah, I told you that.
My friend. Yeah, I mean, I've known that for a while, but sometimes I thought it was just before I had surgery that I was like in pain. And now I'm like, no, I can't do it now either. My friend lent me his Super Nintendo system.
Oh yeah. Oh good. So you mentioned that before he finally hooked it up and you're.
Yeah. So he hooked it up. I played like an hour of Donkey Kong yesterday.
Oh, hell yeah.
And then Natasha came over, friend of the pod. and Raby's pal. And yep. she came over and we played Super Mario and Mario Kart and got super stoned. And then she left and I played like another hour of Donkey Kong.
Allison, that sounds like a blast.
But the cords are really short, so I have to sit on the floor in front of my TV like a child. And I like could not stand up afterwards.
Can you get longer cords? Can you replace the cords?
I think you can, but it's like a special. I would have to like get them. I'm like... This should have wireless.
I'm gonna stop you right there.
Yeah, this should have a wireless. But it's an it's like a little like fake old system. So it's like designed to be nostalgic. But like even just seeing the like, you know, the Nintendo logo and like the Rareware logo like at the beginning and like hearing the sounds, it like instant time travel. Like I was like, oh, it is 1994 again. And I am in my parents' living room playing these games. So it's been a very fun experience. I might buy a Nintendo. I don't know. It's really fun. But I'm like, when would I play this?
Well, I guess there's something because like I'm really trying to stay off Twitter because I'm going insane on it. And so I'm really like, I think maybe I thought of video games like it's hard to relax while looking at a screen. But and I do think that's somewhat true for me. But I at least it's like a different part of your brain. Like you're not, it's not the same like ravenous content maw.
Yeah. And it's also not like full of hate speech. Or like what, like,
yeah,
it's,
a
like
very, yeah.
It's like really nice. Like when I was playing yesterday, I was like, oh, I just spent like 40 minutes not thinking about anything else. Like, it's like going for a walk.
Right. Mario's not going to turn to you and ask you about the Jewish
problem.
Yeah.
Be like, what
you
is know, a woman? Like, okay.
You're like, Mario, that's none of your business. Drive the car, bitch. Well, good. I'm so glad.
Yeah,
that sounds
so
fun.
That's been fun. And for the listeners out there, if you haven't guessed, we don't have a movie this week. We're clearly just like fucking around.
Well, you know, we thought, you know, we gave this a lot of thought. We thought about this for months and we said
months and months.
We gotta, you know, give them what they want, which is a mailbag sort of year review. Like just sit down and be casual.
Yeah.
I'm of course joking. We were going to do a regular movie and then I was hit by a car.
Yep.
And I'm going to do my best. My neck is just, it doesn't even, it's not that it hurts because I took medication. It's that it's seized up in a way that it is unnatural. Like, I don't want to, like,
you
to
have,
turn.
Like, the opposite of exorcist head.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
It's like, instead of going all the way around, it doesn't move at all. Like,
which is itself a problem.
Yes,
I
of
think,
course.
A problem for me.
I don't know about you. I use my neck. Like during the day. So
like
that would be very challenging to not be able to.
It does have a level of drama. If someone asks me a question, I have to be like,
whip around.
What? Excuse me. But yeah, so we're going to answer your questions. We're also going to do some superlatives.
Yes.
We asked you on social, you know, your favorites. Sorry.
We're both like, okay.
It's raining in LA.
Oh, it's so
raining
dry
in LA. Well, see, it's the same thing. It's like, it's either too dry or now it's like, the plants are like, all right,
here's some
this
stuff.
This is what you want to, yeah. So we're in great shape for the holidays.
Yes.
And let us see. What was our first question we asked on social?
Yeah, I say like, why don't we bounce between doing like some superlative, like we'll do like a superlative or two. We'll answer a question from the mailbag. I think like
real cash.
Very cash. The obvious question we had to ask everybody, and I think we both knew what the answer was going to be, is what was your favorite episode of this year, and Madman by a landslide, with an honorable mention to VHS 94, I think exclusively for Hail Ratma, which...
Yes, that makes sense.
As we all Hail Ratma, and, you know, we're post-Thanksgiving, so I'm sure all of those kids that survived are back home from their camp.
From their incredible Thanksgiving camp where they learn... The meaning of Thanksgiving.
The meaning of Thanksgiving?
Presume.
It's like no one in this country knows the meaning of Thanksgiving. It's genocide.
I love knowing that people loved Madman.
It's hard to say.
Because it is that kind of like, we just recently did Basket Case, like that kind of absurd movie where it's like, I don't know. And then they get in the hot tub. You know, like it's just like moments of like just directorial or... Like production decisions that I love. You know what I mean? Just sort of like, I don't know, he's holding a wicker basket and there's a lock on it. You know what I mean? We got to shoot this movie.
Yes.
And from that, like, need to do and need to, like, fill space or, like, need to create a world that is facilitating horrific, like, monstrous crimes and murders comes such beautiful ingenuity. And what it's other ingenuity would be than Thanksgiving camp? Because there's no reason for it to be in Thanksgiving.
No.
They're not wearing coats or anything.
No.
It's not snowing.
No.
There's no reason whatsoever. And we're so glad that you enjoyed that.
Yeah, I would say, as well as us. To me, that was the hardest I laughed all year, for sure. And also just like, to me, that felt like the biggest twist.
It was the twist.
It's Thanksgiving.
You know, and I will say, as someone who's seen a lot of horror movies, there are a few things that can still surprise me. And whenever they do, I really want to reward the movie. You could have knocked me over with a feather, Allison.
I mean,
you could have slapped me across the face. Like, it was such a reveal. Anything else that happened was like just gravy after that.
It really
was. What was your favorite episode, do you think, from the year?
I mean, I have to say I've really enjoyed the anthology movies that we've done. And like, so it makes me excited about wanting to try and figure out a way to do TV, to do a series. Yes. Because like, I'm like, I think we can get there. It's just a matter of how. And we do have to think it through. But
which is not our strong suit.
No, it is not. Because like, I'll say this. We know that my brain isn't like one of the better ones. And so I sometimes halfway through these movies, I'm like, I forget who all these people were already.
Man, what is wrong with us? Like, sometimes we say stuff and I'm just like, we both need to be examined thoroughly by a panel of professionals.
We like laugh it off and I'm just like, what did you say 10 minutes ago? As if I don't have severe brain damage probably from when I had asymptomatic COVID a year ago.
Well, I do feel like, and to be fair, it's like, this is an interesting one. I feel like science versus society, right?
Yes.
Because it's like both, we all had, I had COVID and it's like, there are obviously people are having symptoms.
Yeah. The brain fog is very real and I absolutely had that, but nothing else associated with it, which is why I'm always like convinced it's like, I'm going to drop dead one day and they'll be like, well, it was that.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, we still live in that world and it's still happening and it's spiking again here in Los Angeles.
Yep. Same in New York and I think everywhere.
Yeah, and I think that there, so it's like there's that part, which is the actual, the biological event. But then also as a society, we have decided we are not going to address any of this.
Nope.
We are not going to like talk about all the things we could have taken from it.
No.
Disability, accommodating people, providing like public health. People are like, nope, we refuse to learn one fucking lesson.
Nope.
So I think there are probably people who are walking around with like memory or brain fog.
For sure.
They will. Much like in the way, I don't know, similar to like how I think about being gay or like thinking about ADHD. It's like we cannot have these larger societal conversations that would be very helpful to people who are like, hey, do you experience brain fog? Maybe we don't know the answer now, but like, let us know when we can work with you. I'm sure there's things that people can do.
Absolutely.
Instead, people are like, no, me just dumb.
Yep.
It's me. It's the individual.
Yes.
I'm actually a piece of shit. And because that's in our society, they have to blame you for it. They have to blame you, Allison, for not being able to think for a goddamn second.
Yeah.
Because then they don't have to take any responsibility or address it. You know, that being said, the only time I've seen a doctor, again, I still haven't seen one for ADHD, was literally because I got hit by a car. Like there's, but also it's like, listen, I have health insurance. I am terrified of even like the process of finding a doctor, the process of going to the doctor, be like, JK, this isn't covered. Because I've had that kind of stuff happen before where it's like, oh, yeah, you thought this covered. Just kidding. Here's a $4,000
surprise
bill when you're 24 or whatever. Like, it's just insane. So
our friend Divya said to me, she was like, there is nothing worse than starting a new healthcare journey. And I think that is 100% accurate. Like, it's not even like, oh, this is the worst thing. Like, it's just like starting to see a new kind of doctor. Then they have to start with like all the basic tests. If you're a woman, they're usually going to be like, we don't really know why or how this happens. Like, it's just like,
yeah.
An ongoing thing. So, you know, again, once again, I think like favorite episode of the year is irrelevant. Scariest thing of the year, the American healthcare system.
And also
as always,
Ratma.
Our greatest villain.
And also Ratma's pretty scary.
Ratma, very scary.
And Ratma, I think I'm very much, I think maybe as we go to the next year, I definitely want to do more movies. I'm really in a monster mood. I'm really in a creature feature fucking mood. There's something about practical effects and like, the puppetry of it, like a wet puppet. I don't know whether I'm just like in that kind of like angry mood. I don't know what it is, but like I want to see more big old rat people.
Yeah, I want to see more Ratma.
Taking of Deborah Logan, sort of like the unhinging of the jaw, swallowing someone.
Yes, yes. It's like also like, I don't know, in real life and in like global news, I see enough men killing people. And it's like, I would love to see a giant rat killing somebody instead.
Yeah. And I'm thinking about that. I have an idea for a short film I want to start to figure out if I could do.
Ooh,
and,
I think you can.
And it's sort of a monstrous transformation. It's in horror, a lot of it, you know, sort of transformation, a lot of body horror. A lot of it feels or it is kind of queer, even if not like specifically, you know, sort of called out in that way. And I don't know, there's something about that, that, yeah. And it's like how we understand the world through analogy or like metaphor. Mm. Like that's what art is. And the art that we like is a big old rat god. Crawling out of a sewer pipe. That's what
everybody's
I'm here
throwing
for.
Up black liquid.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That's what they were up to, right?
You know, they never say what the liquid is, but yeah, it's like a black, yeah, like a ooze coming up. And you're like, that's Ratma for you.
That's Ratma. He's full of surprises. That's for sure.
That guy. Ooh, Samantha says, if you could rewrite the ending of one of the movies, which one and how would you rewrite it? This is a fascinating question. And I have like all of our episodes, like I'm looking at the list.
I feel like there were several movies where they end and I'm like, I need 5 more minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Like just to see what happens. Like, it's like, I do love the ones that like end up that are just like, anyway, he's still out there.
Yeah.
Like they didn't win. Like the killer did or the monster did. Like those are fun. But like sometimes I'm like, give me just 5 more minutes to see like if he, and I get that that's the horror, but like I need information, hence the entire existence of this podcast.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, the only one that sort of comes up, I don't know. Because I wouldn't change the end of Thinner. But like, it's almost like you wanted to see, I didn't want him to get his final moment of success. Because if you remember in Thinner, like his daughter eats, again, spoiler alert for all these movies, hopefully you've listened to the episodes. So he has the pie with the curse. He wants his wife, who again, he sort of just presumes is cheating on him and therefore deserves to die. His daughter eats the pie. And at the end, and the wife also eats the pie. And at the end, he's filled with despair. And then the other man shows up to meet up with the wife. And he gets a moment of like, I'm going to at least, even though my family's all dead, I get to feed this cheating man who fucked my wife the pie. And I don't think he earned that, even that moment of happiness. No. I want him to just eat the pie himself and fucking die unhappy. Just because he is truly the most loathsome horror movie protagonist, I feel like.
Yes.
But so that's the one that comes to mind. But then it's like, would I change it? Probably not. But I didn't. What do you think, Allison?
I agree with that. I will also say Final Girls. I would have liked Malin Ackerman and her. She was the mom, right? Or was she the daughter? I just wish that the mom could have come back and that they could have like somehow, that it would have been like a really happy ending of like we could go back in time to before she died and then they could have had all that time together or like to be like adult. Like
I know.
I just wanted that sweet ending for that movie because it was like so cute and lovely for a horror movie.
Yeah, and I guess you couldn't have the bitter with the sweet. You know, you had to end this way.
It's true.
Yeah. I think those make sense.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or JeffWeilerColumbusAutoMall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.
Let's do worst death scene.
Oh, yeah.
So the most responses were the Speak No Evil stoning. And then as a close second, the barbarian head smashing.
Oh, wow. I did not see that one ranking.
I
would say the Speak No Evil stoning is one of the worst deaths.
Yeah. And again, boy, that, and it really stays with you. And, there is something about, the brutality of it. It's sort of, there's nothing, it's not a surprise. It is a slow, brutal death.
And that's so much scarier.
Yeah.
Than like all of a sudden like, oh my God. Like versus just like a slow march to a gruesome death is harrowing.
Yeah. There's a slow, it's like And also the fact that they, you know, it's like, let's say the menu, you know, if you saw the episode, mm-hmm. you know, Doug Varick, the angel investor, is lowered into the water to drown. He can't escape. So it is a slow death, but he's bound. Like they could at any point in time try at least run. And they don't do it. And that is as horrifying as the stoning mm-hmm. itself. It's like to be so complacent and controllable, you know, and again, horror getting at like something in ourselves, like that idea of like, what would you do in that situation? A lot of us, maybe not a lot of us, but definitely some of us would be like, well, I'm just going to not do anything because I don't know how to handle this.
Yeah, right. I'm just going to do what they say.
And then barbarian head smashing. You know, I think I want to channel in 2023. I want to channel the mother's energy. I want to go in there. I want to be smashing heads. I want to be busting through walls. I want to be surviving dives off of water towers. That's where I want to go big with it. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. There's another one that I agree with that was written in either on Instagram or Twitter by at the spooky bookworm. Do we? Like, not the worst death in terms of gruesomeness, but, like, Dewey, like, he didn't need to die. Like, it just, like, it is a bummer, like, especially in that franchise. He's so beloved I'm talking about Scream, of course. And if you didn't know that Dewey died in Scream, I'm so sorry, but you should go listen to all of our Scream episodes. But I think that there are some worse deaths that are just, like, narratively the worst and not just, like, you know, the most violent, the most horrific.
And I think they did a good job with it. Like, I thought David Arquette was great and Courtney Cox's response to it. But it is like, it did feel like, to a certain degree, that they did it specifically to give the Scream 5 stakes. Like, this is really a part of the franchise.
Yeah.
And that's fine. But he's one of our three. You know,
And then it's also like extra devastating to know that Nev Campbell's not in Scream 6. And it's like, well, we could have, like, now we're down two. Like, well, all we have is Courtney Cox. I mean, I stand Gail forever, but is that enough to carry Scream 6? Like, I'm very curious how that's going to go.
And then we talked about this when we did Scream 5, the live show. But just to confirm, if anyone's seen photos of Scream 6, Hayden Panettiere is
got a tough last name.
Yeah. And
it's many consonants that don't work together for me.
And this is not a novel idea, but it makes me think of that, like, Italian bread, that, like, holiday bread.
Panettone?
Panettone? Yes. So I just assumed that her last name was Panettone.
Yes.
Panettone. God, I want some holiday bread. Look at all this holiday bread, Allison.
What is holiday bread? I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Bread, but, like, for what the holidays.
What is it?
Tradition. It's like so it looks like a chef's hat. So it kind of has, like, a muffin-y top and then, like, a stump. And then it's filled with, like, fruit and nuts. And it is a fruit cake, but it's, like, the better version of it. It's, like, bread with, like...
Is there
raisin bread? It's something in the more of a vein versus, like, a cake, I think.
Okay.
And I think the older I get, I want something to be a little less... I don't want it to be too sweet. I'm like, oh, it's too sweet.
I don't do super sweet anymore. I need things that are, like, slightly more into the savory world.
Yeah, as our tongue or taste buds die, we get to enjoy more nuanced flavors.
Can I pitch another worst death that I think for me,
of course,
is in Gerald's game when the husband dies. It's not his death that's terrible, but it's knowing her scenario. Like,
yes,
I mean, it's the whole movie is like her being trapped there and him being dead, and like I think that. That one, like, stresses. It's the most stressful death, I think, for me.
I completely agree. Yeah, because that's a different question. It's like, not the death itself, but, like, the ramifications of the death.
Yes.
In the film. That's a really good point.
Do you have any other... contenders?
Puppet Master.
Okay.
Those
death
little
of American
guys.
Cinema.
Really freaked me out, right? I'll say it as plainly as I can. I don't like those little guys. I don't like them coming around. I don't like their little bad plans.
I don't like their little suitcase that they live in.
Now, we did talk about how Blade, the main puppet, is turning a look. He is into men's fashion. He has a fedora, like a long gray trench.
But plenty of terrible people look great, so.
And I think there is the death scene where the leech woman, you remember And as the female puppet, she has to be sexual, of course, because as a woman, you're required to be sexual, even when leeches are coming out of your mouth. Personally, I like to divide the two, but the vomiting of the leeches onto the body is, because I don't think that's like, technically that's not the death. That's the worst shit, I think, from this year. That I'm like,
yeah,
I was not prepared to see that. And again, it's not scary. It's just so unsettling. I was deeply unsettled by that. Oh, also, that's from December of last year. It's not even a year review. I went too far back.
Wow, you went too far.
But I do think, yeah, because the first one was January 4th. We did The Night House, another great phenomenal film.
Night House.
Yeah, but...
chilling, but also fabulous in its architectural views.
Yeah. It give you a little something to look at, Malignant style. Let's see what other questions we have here. Ooh, okay. Cabin in the Woods style. This is from Timmy. Thank you, Timmy. Cabin in the Woods style. What kind of monster in the sort of cage would you be based on who you are as a person? And this person said, I know I'd be a werewolf covered in body hair since elementary, and it's only increased. Timmy, I'm there, especially with the body hair every day. We talked about this. I definitely want to get laser hair removal. It's just like it will be a financial commitment that I'm just not prepared to make.
It's a big one. And like, you got to go a bunch, I believe, depending on what you're doing. And it's just like, it's a time commitment. It's a financial commitment. It's a lifestyle. But it seems like the results are good.
And like, I support, again, as a queer person, it's like, I see like so many queer femme person who, or any queer person who embrace their body hair. And on them, it looks like cool and natural and like beautiful. On me, it looks like I am covered like in glue and then like a bunch of like clippings from like the floor of a salon got blown on me.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not good body hair. Does that make sense? Like some people have good body hair.
Yeah.
I wish. Yeah. You know?
No.
I work with somebody who has a fabulous, like a assigned female at birth person, just fabulous hair, incredible hair that, you know, like long, gorgeous hair, a full on mustache. They look incredible. I wish. Mine, if I were to grow, because I'm mostly talking about my facial hair, I would just have like a little scraggly goatee. It's not a great look.
Yeah, no, it does. Yeah, it's not for us, and that's okay.
What monster, Allison? Like, I'm trying to think of like,
and is it just like classic? Because like I
think you
can
go wide with it. I think you can. It can be anything.
Like, genre wise, a robot.
Yes. 100%. Like
I'm a killbot. Like I'm a killbot.
You are just a
like,
killbot.
Kind of just like not flexible. kind of cold.
Actually holding a gun up like this as you drive around,
saying thank you for your. Wait, what did they say in that movie?
I want to say thank you for shopping, but
thank you for shopping. Yeah, thank you for shopping. I don't know, but I think I would be maybe not even specifically a killbot though. Like we know, I love them all.
Thank you. Have a nice day.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Thank you. Have a nice day.
Wow. Allison, you're absolutely right. You are a killbot.
I'm a killbot. Like I think, and I know that that's not like cabin in the, but like that's the monster of like our world of ruins that I think that I am the most connected to.
Absolutely.
And again, like I would love to live in a mall.
Yeah. I mean, the killbot really had a lot going for it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It had its little friends.
Yeah. There was a whole little, like the whole little system of them and they could take elevators. I take elevators.
Really? Yeah. Like they couldn't take the stairs. So they really got to enjoy themselves. The luxury of the elevator.
Oh, the luxury of an elevator.
You so can just sleep all day and then work at night, which is kind of what you do anyways. Yeah.
I mean, it is. That is kind of what I do. As a comedian, I'm working at night. I'm sleeping in late. So I think, a killbot or just a general robot. You know, I'm made of metal and don't bend a lot and need to be recharged often.
Damn, Allison, you've really read yourself. Exactly right.
I know who I am. What about you? Do you have like a sense of what kind of, what genre of monster or like a specific one from our world?
I really feel werewolf as well. I think Ratma. I think I'm going full Ratma.
I do think that there's some Ratma in you.
Again, very hairy, much like Timmy, like sort of, you know, I think there's like they were worshiping Ratma, but it didn't seem like Ratma knew what was going on. So I'd be like, not really knowing what's going on at any point in time.
Yeah. And like living like cult, like you could accidentally have a cult. Do you know what I mean?
But it would be a rat mustache cult where, like, I'm not like the Keith Raniere where, like, right, I have
you're
a
not
whole
trying
plan.
To do anything. But
I just look over
like,
I'm like, oh, you guys are in my sewer with me? Okay, I guess like, that's fine.
Yeah, you want some black ooze? Like, plenty to go around. Like a benevolent cult leader.
A benevolent cult leader. Or just sort of like a someone who just... Yeah, I do like the idea of a cult leader who bumbles into it. It's very fun.
Yeah.
And also, I am the kind of person, I'm really working on this, but I was talking to a coworker yesterday, and he was saying, like, the power went out on his block in, here in LA. And he's like, well, I guess I'll just freeze tonight. Like, he was just like, when faced with something like that, he's like, I don't know. I don't have the first idea of how to resolve this.
Yeah. So and just... doing nothing.
Yeah, there's something about Ratma where it's like, what does Ratma do? It just comes out of a hole and it barfs black ooze, then it goes back in. That's what I can do. This is what this podcast is, that black ooze. And so I'm going to go Ratma.
I think Ratma's good for you.
Thank you. I really appreciate
Ratma
it.
Ratma and Killbot.
Yeah.
Together forever.
Oh, little Ratma, little Killbot.
Okay, so our next superlative is which movie could you have survived and why? And we have a couple of listener, Iggy and Stella said Scream because I never answer the phone.
Yes.
Which I love. Another, Sarah Jaros, As Above, So Below, because I'm not going down there. And I fully agree. Like,
yeah.
I could survive any of the movies where it's opting in to what is obviously a bad scenario. Like, just because I don't want to do stuff.
Yeah. I completely agree. A friend of the pod, Naomi Paragon, who did Drag Me to Hell as one of our guest episodes, I just saw her this weekend for her birthday. Happy birthday, Naomi, if you're listening to this. She was talking about, like, as a black woman, it's like to watch Barbarian and be like, I wouldn't go. I would simply have driven my car to like a McDonald's or Walmart parking lot and slept in my car. Yeah. I'm not going in the house to begin with.
No.
And she was saying, and I think this is really, it's like, could there be a horror movie if you really are playing to the top of your intelligence? And I think so, but that horror movie is then like the thing follows you. Like it's almost like it, one of these where it is like, it's so totally out of your hands, which is terrifying. Like it follows, like it would have to be, it follows like, yeah, you fuck some guy. There's no way that she could have known that's what was about to happen. Mm-hmm. So in that way, she really, and I do think that movie is a good example of like, they were trying their absolute best. Now they're kids, they had no information. But everyone's like, we got to figure this out versus, say, you know, Mad Men, where it's like, huh, everyone's disappeared. Guess I'll do the same thing they did. Yeah. And I'll be back in 20 minutes. I'm sure I won't be killed in the woods. And then
right.
You go
I'm
going
to march into the woods alone with no weapons or safety. And, you know, it'll be fine.
I do think
I could have also. So Old is a movie where I'm like.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because the answer was to swim, I could have done that once we knew that was the answer.
You're absolutely right.
But I also, like, once things really got going on Old Beach, I think I would have been like, all right, fine. I'm just going to sit on the beach.
Yeah.
Like, and let like, you know, my life kind of like disappear and die there and be like, okay. Like, I think that would have been for me the death of least resistance.
Yeah, and I want that for you too. I don't want you to do anything horrible. I want you to have a
just
nice
sit
life
and age quickly.
Yeah,
that's one fine. Very that's what's happening on the day. Beach anyway.
I feel like, if I was on the Old Beach, I'd be the one person who does have to go to the bathroom. So I would just have to stand in the ocean as like piss and shit just falls out of me at like the rate of my aging. I'd be like, why is no one else dealing with this? I would just be peeing like the entire time.
I mean, no movie has ever skirted the bathroom issue more than Old Beach or Old.
And if you're listening to this and you are a horror filmmaker, we need answers. Okay. We're not doing that anymore.
Right. You don't need a whole scene. You don't need to show stuff. But
I mean,
just
if you
want to
show stuff, we'll watch it. But
we'll watch it. But like, just to have somebody acknowledge, like, I found a toilet, or like, I have to pee. Like, just like
everyone, I found a toilet.
Absolutely. No, it's not inside, it's outside.
Just a loose toilet in the woods. That's
a
scary.
A rogue toilet? I can't think of anything
with that
scarier
toilet
than
there. Also, it's like a toilet in the woods would just
whose
be the same as
toilet is that?
Going to the bathroom in the woods.
Yes.
It would have no meaning. It's a decontextualized toilet. Very scary.
You know what? I will say, if I found a toilet in the woods and I had to pee, I would pee in the toilet and not on the ground because
me too.
I would I would rather sit than squat.
Right. The illusion of a toilet.
You know, there's some jackass out there who would hover over that. And it's like, come on, girl. Like,
that's a good, yeah, at that point. I thought you were saying there's some jackass where you look down, like, they're just faces looking up at you. Whoever put that toilet there has a long term plan regarding the toilet, and you just become a part of it.
Toilets do not accidentally end up in the woods.
Yes, we can all agree on that.
What do you think you could have survived? Besides the ones that, again, we all agree, like, I wouldn't go. Like, I would never do as above, so below, because I'd be like, I'm not going in the catacombs.
Right, exactly. You know, I'm trying to think, boy, I just feel like realistically, I'm not surviving much of anything. You know, I want to be totally, you know, upfront with people about the likelihood. What could I survive? I think I would survive monkey shines, because I do think they only really address one point. Like, it's like monkey shines works because the protagonist is in a electric wheelchair. He's like, his mobility is limited, so the monkey is then able to sort of like wreak havoc. As someone who is at least bigger than a monkey, I think I could get that. Even if it had a razor, I think I could hit that thing with a baseball bat.
Yeah,
I think I can figure out a way to fight the monkey.
I think so too. Yes.
And survive.
I think that you could fight a small monkey. I believe in you.
And win. Most importantly, and win.
And win.
Now it wouldn't be. It would be a hard fight to watch. I'd be fighting for my life out there. But I do believe in my heart of hearts that I could beat a monkey in a knife fight. If I had a razor blade and a monkey had a razor blade, I think I could beat that monkey.
Yes, I think you could do that.
Also, I forgot that our tagline for Monkey Shines is Helper Monkey or Harbor Monkey. God, we're good at this. God, I mean, art, baby.
Art. This is art.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
So we're back to a general question about the pod, and Lauren asked us, a few movies that you've covered have been turned into musicals, which I guess Reanimator and Evil Dead are both musicals. So what other movies that you've covered for the pod do you think would make good musicals? Hallie, I'm dying to know what you think.
Well, you know, I actually saw the Evil Dead musical in New York twice.
Whoa.
It was fucking great. It was so fun. And so we went with my brothers maybe one of my brothers, but then my youngest brother was in town. So we went to go see the Evil Dead musical again. It was like off Broadway. And the first couple rows was the splash zone. So you got a tarp because there was so much fake blood spraying off the stage. Please look it up. I'm sure the musical is on YouTube, or there's probably recordings.
I would not want that.
To me, a thrill of a lifetime. It was like,
I would not want to be in those rows, rather.
Right. It was very, SeaWorld. You know, it was, you're going through the experience. But yeah, they do say, like, on the tickets, like, do not wear anything you don't want potentially stained. Do not wear, like, colors. Like, it's not worth it. I think Orphan seems the natural, drama of it all. Like
a Dark Matilda kind of.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Yeah. All the school dancing. See, Dark Matilda. Absolutely. Allison.
Yes. I think Christine would be a good one.
Now, is somebody a human playing the car, or is the car on stage driving around?
I think the car is on stage driving around.
Oh, like, it's like Little Shop of Horrors with the
play. Yeah. Like, where it's like somebody's playing it, but like it is a car, not a person, like as like, I'm Christine, and like has like a headlight hat or something like that. Like, no, a full like car that someone's inside of and is like.
Allison, you're absolutely right.
It just feels like there's like room for like a really sexy dance number between the lead guy and the car.
I think in this movie, I think in this musical, they would have sex. He would have sex with the car.
Yes.
And it'd be very clear. Because that's what we're dancing around in the movie. It's like, no, there is a full-on love scene where he's making love to a car on stage.
Yes. And I think that, like, this is what Broadway is missing. And if they want people to return to theater, a horror musical where a man fucks a car, I don't know a better equation for success than that.
We're there opening fucking night. We're here. We're there in previews. We're writing reviews. We are getting the word out.
We're funding this project.
We're doing the thing where, like, Hamilton had, like, that, like, in the street, like, we'll be performing. We're going to do that, but it's just people fucking cars. So get on board for the Christine musical, everybody. Also, the Christine's hood should move when she talks.
Oh, that's exactly what I was imagining. So yeah. I don't know what you were thinking, but that is definitely what needs to happen.
Okay, good. I'm so glad. And another excellent question.
Fabulous question.
Oh, let's see. Okay, here's a superlative. Most surprising twist.
Yes.
Most people, most responses, orphan first kill. We're going to talk about that, everybody.
Orphan first kill, I disagree. I do not think that was like...
Guys, come on.
That was not as surprising some of our... I will say that like finding out that in Gerald's game that the Midnight Man was a real person...
That's tough.
That was that wasn't the twist of the movie, but boy, was that a shocking, horrific thing to happen.
Absolutely. You know, and I think... something to think about for Orphan First Kill. I think that what it breaks down to is like, had you heard the story of that of the imposter, of the documentary, or just generally about the French imposter, you know, or even the concept of imposters? Because I feel like,
yes,
America, due to capitalism and other elements, we run on grifts and scams. So maybe as an American, I'm like, there's got to be some sort of grift, there's some sort of scam. Now I love the twist, but I think because we knew it was, they had to up the ante.
Yeah.
When you see it, it's very satisfying. But I was like, I feel like we saw that coming.
I think they're like we were breadcrumbed along to believe that.
In and a delightful way. Absolutely. Yes,
in a way that's super fun. And like that is a fun reveal.
Yeah.
I don't feel like it's as much of a twist as it is like, and yes, this was exactly what was happening the whole time.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. I'm looking back. I do feel like one of the... It's not like the main twist, but in Fresh, when you find out that her captor is married, and the implication that the woman he married was one of his victims who he formed a relationship with, or like maybe like used that relationship to get out and is now just his wife on the outside, that fucked me up. I thought that I was like, oh, and again, an insidious, they don't really get into the details, so you kind of have to, you know, follow the dots on your own, but that was something really shocking to me.
Yes. I would like to add, of course, like the other surprise twist, Malignant.
Yeah, I mean,
one of the best twists of the year. He's on the back of her head. That's amazing.
and people have already asked this, but we absolutely will be doing Megan for January's live show. We have to. You know, it's one of the same writers. Let me look them up here. But it's of a piece with Malignant. It fills us with the same, again, like horror as like camp, horror as like fun and gruesome, and like silly and disgusting. I think there's something very, humans need it. Like, I feel like we just need, there's a part of our brain that lights up when we see that kind of thing. And it's just nice. Nice to take the edge off. Now, do you think you're going to, when you think about Megan, are you more like a Megan than a Killbot? Only because Megan has that great hair, and so do you.
I know. I do have great hair, and so does she. And I think, you know, it remains to be seen. I need to, like, get more info on Megan and see, like, what her deal is. I really do relate to the Killbots and their simplicity. They are like me with a goldfish brain, I believe. Like, I don't think that they're, like, out here remembering details and dates and times. So we'll see. You know, we'll TBD on if I'm more of a Megan or a Killbot.
Absolutely.
Of course, the two types of person you can be.
And just, so the writer of Malignant and Megan, Akilah Hooper and James Wan being the other credited writer. Again, churning them out. You know, I do think there's something where it's like, there's a lot of horror that is maybe a little... you know, it is what it is, but it doesn't have sort of style or, you know, I think you have to be really thoughtful about like the way in which like style and humor highlights the horror. And I feel like there's some the Conjuring franchise that to me is not fun. It's very, it takes itself so seriously.
Yes.
And it actually makes it less scary because then everyone seems like there's like, oh, well, I read a book and then that's how the demon's name. It's like, I don't like react to it. And to me, the Megan and Malignant of all is the thrill of having people be like, what the hell is that? Like, it's us as the audience. It's so fun.
Yes. I want things ratcheted up.
Yeah. I want to, and I said this in the Malignant live show, I screamed when the reveal happens, what the fuck? And then literally Zoe Bell within the movie screams, what the fuck? And it was like, that moment of parallel was just, again,
beautiful. I feel like a lot of people ask, and like there's a bunch of questions that could get folded into this, but I'm just going to ask you, Hallie.
Okay.
Are there any movies that are out there that are like, too scary for you to want to cover for the pod or too scary for you to watch or that you're kind of dreading doing for the podcast that live kind of in like a next level of horror? Because I feel like that's often a question that people ask. Is there anything that's too scary? For me, I'm like every movie we've ever done is too scary for me to see. But like, is there anything you're dreading that you've been avoiding?
Well, I'm trying to think. There was one movie I tried to watch. Oh, Megan is Missing. That's the only movie I genuinely didn't want to.
Yes.
And it's because even before we get into a 14-year-old girl's abduction, at a party scene, she is hit in the face, like a man slaps her across the face. And I was like,
nope, I'm out.
I'm good. So that to me is the only thing of like, again, I have a hard time watching kids in horror reasonably enough. But like horror is a genre where if you have a deft hand, you can sort of tackle a bunch of different things.
Yes.
Children being hit or injured. Like, if you, to me, you have to be handling it with a level of like artistic care. And that to me was like a movie where I'm like, this is just not working for me.
Yeah.
I do want to do David Cronenberg's Crimes of the Future.
Yes.
I tried to do that. And then like, but it is, we were maybe thinking about doing it for like the June live show, I think. One, I was coming out. And so I was for the time a lesbian werewolf that like, or like a chattering skeleton. So I couldn't really like put my life together at that time.
Yes. Yeah.
But I really loved, and to be fair, I was like in a David Cronenberg situation myself with my life, but I really liked Crimes of the Future. But again, it deals with the death of a child and it's I really think it was well done. And like the larger points he's making about like what we're doing to the earth, what it does to the human body when we sort of like become disconnected from the human, like our human experience, I think are very valuable. To talk about it is, I do want to, but like, it's a fucking bummer. It is a tough movie, tough watch that again, it has moments of levity to sort of help break it up. Right. But that's the only movie where it's like, I know I want to do it. And I love David Cronenberg and, you know, we've talked about his oeuvre before.
Yes, of course.
But I don't know. So that's the only one that comes to mind is like, it's a great film if you've seen it or, you know, if you're not a horror person or you're squeamish at all, really don't see it. It's not a good one, you know, for that kind of thing.
I think like what we've struggled with, like based on like what you've said, is like, it's not that movies are too scary. It's that some of them are just kind of like hard to then like retell.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And either like convey what was going on or like, you know, you need the visuals, you need the feeling, you like there's, you know, some of those are tough. So, you know, maybe those are the ones that we keep punting.
Yeah. And, you know,
we have to do some classics. We've like missed like a couple.
We've done Halloween. We are so sorry. This is a failure of
huge failure.
The whole premise of this podcast, the fact we haven't done fucking Halloween.
Jamie Lee Curtis, I apologize.
I mean, to get her for the pod. Yeah. Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Her and Kyle Richards of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. So.
And I think for me, the one reason we haven't done Halloween is like we're trying to figure out, should we do it for Halloween? But there's, I believe, 12 movies
there's
in the franchise.
So many of them. And they keep releasing them.
Well, because like the last one just came out, Hollywood Ends. And like, that's the last one. It's like, that's not how the movie business works, baby. Like,
nope.
Next year, you're going to announce a new set of directors and like a new direction. And like, you know, not that I only say this as like it's a franchise where they've kind of rebooted it and ignored continuity before. So it's like, if Jamie Lee wants to be printing money, of course you're going to, I don't know. But there's a sort of a related question from Alexandra that we could do right now, which is, what is the scariest movie you've ever seen?
Yes.
And she says, when you get to the spooky scale, your ratings are usually lower than I think they're going to be. What's a 10 on your spooky scale? And honestly, like so many horror, I really love horror and I love the art of it and the craft of it. And as storytelling, I think is like, you know, it's obviously my favorite. But in terms of scariness, I think I'm going to give it to Hereditary. I think,
yeah.
And again, it was like, was that just where I was at, where I saw that? I saw it in theaters and I think, you know, by now, my feelings about spoilers, I had already read what happened. And even knowing was so shocking and insane and like so perfectly like played for dread that that to me was the scariest movie watching experience. So it's not that it's the scariest movie ever, but like, it again, fucked me up. We had to watch it, I full on like teared up multiple times because it fucked me up so bad. Allison, what do you think is the scariest movie that we've done this past year?
That we did this year?
Yeah, let's do 2022.
All right.
Oh, and speaking of, so going forward, we're just going to release the live episodes as Patreon episodes. So they're not going to be released into the normal feed. This seems like the right move. If you guys have strong feelings, let us know. But that is the plan as of for 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. So get tickets and make sure you can make it to the live shows or subscribe to the Patreon.
Right. Because then once you subscribe,
won't make their ways in. Okay. So I was going to say The Wretched, but that was last year that we did. So I think, like, I think that Gerald's Game, like, really did, like, is, like, up there for me. There's definitely, like, a lot of other things in contention, and there are a lot of really scary moments this year of, like, things, like, I thought a lot of Antlers, like, I've seen Saw. I know we covered it without me. I think it's a fucking terrifying movie in a lot of ways. Taking of Deborah Logan and Lake Mungo, just like chilling. But I do think like Gerald's Game, it's that, it's for me, it's the movie where it's like if you put yourself in the main, the wife, I forget her name. Like if you put yourself in her position, it's one of the scariest scenarios. And it's like not outside of the realm of possibility. Just chilling.
Yeah. We're gonna wrap things up. We're with the one last question, I think perhaps the most important question, Allison, which is what is your favorite ruined baddie and why? Most responses, Hail Ratma. Ratma, she's gotta go on. I think we're gonna assume she's a woman. I don't know, gender is again a construct, but in this way we're constructing her as a female.
Yes.
Hail Ratma again. She's got something. You know what I mean? It's not necessarily about conventional beauty, but it's about the charisma. It's about what she's bringing to the room. It's very captivating.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
At A.A. Nathaniel, Mia Goth playing a heroine and a villain in the same franchise. So good. Yes. Love it. An absolute baddie. I'm still lukewarm on both X and Pearl. I'm going to be honest. Mm-hmm. But she's great in it. She's giving 110%. At Deanna E. Smith, Esther, she just wants a daddy. Who can blame her? None of us.
Who can blame her? I mean, I think, like, look, everybody in all of the, we did all the Screams this year that are out. And I just, like, I will forever, you know, love every single person in every one of those movies. I think that they're some of my, because they're real people and they're, like, modern people.
Oh, yes. And they're all hot. You have to be hot to be in a movie, so.
Exactly. Like, they're hot. But I do think, I might have to go Esther. I mean, I feel like she really, she's got a lot going on. She's a bad bitch who's like, you know, down to business, getting the things she wants. She's one of my faves.
Yeah.
Of course she is. I mean, they've made more movies. Like, she's everyone's icon. I think that she's probably up there for me for what we did this year. What do you think?
I think I'm going to go with the new, the female pinhead from the 2022 Hellraiser.
Oh, yes.
Again, the original pinhead was a female in the story. Again, it just feels right. And and I feel terrible. I forget her name. But the actress, it's hard to revisit and add to an iconic character and an iconic performance of a character.
Yes.
Jamie Clayton, she crushed it. I thought it's like, again, an impossible task that she brought like a level of terror and seduction and again, craft to it. So I'm going to go new pinhead, but also old pinhead. Love old pinhead as well, obviously. Yes. And then I just want to say that our last Ruined Baddie was our producer Sabrina is put in here from at Wisness Key. The person named Ariel says, I know you mean killer, but my favorite Ruined Baddie is Sabrina because she's cute and wonderful and makes the pod possible. And I would just like to end this by saying thank you to Sabrina, our producer, yes. And Kat, our editor.
And Kat, our editor.
For all your incredible hard work and for believing in this podcast. Times top 10 podcast.
Yes, yes. An award, a list-making podcast.
And
so.
Just how much dealing with our schedules and, you know, my months-long queer mental breakdown and just making this all possible, we really appreciate it. And Allison, I just want you to know that I really appreciate you as my co-host and my friend. And this has been a really wonderful endeavor that means a lot to me. And I just want to say thank you for being a part of it.
Yes, and thank you. I mean, this podcast doesn't exist without any of the people we listed. And, like, I don't know, like, what would I be doing if I wasn't doing this? Just sitting alone, not knowing what happens in these movies, not talking to you, and then forgetting exactly what we talked about? I mean, what would that look like? That's a hell I don't want to be a part of.
We should do a recap where I recap the episodes to you because you don't remember any of the movies. So it's like our own recap podcast.
Ruined, which I think we did at one point, but like just like actually just being like, and then you said this.
Yeah.
Just remind me what I said because I don't remember either.
And also want to thank everyone who's listening, like all of our listeners, everyone who signs up for the Patreon. Again, it means so much to us that anyone wants to listen to this.
I know.
As we, in our minds, to us, this is us screaming into the void. So all of your incredibly kind emails. And I, again, as we just continue to be a more political podcast, because that is the world we live in, we appreciate you reaching out to us and sharing what that means to you.
Yes.
And we just want to say thank you so much. It means everything. And
this has been such a good year for the podcast. And we're just so excited that so many people want to listen to it and want to join the Patreon and come to the live shows and buy merch and share it on Instagram. And like that just like every time that happens, like I still get very excited because it just means that you guys like the pod, which we like doing it. And it's very fun for us. So
we like
to. So thank you all for everything.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you all for everything.
Thank you all for everything. And I guess with that, we're going to sign off for the year.
Wow.
What a year.
Again, I can't wait for you to completely forget it when the clock strikes over.
I just start over. It's like, you know,
God
recharging
shakes
a phone.
That Etch a Sketch. Yeah.
Yep. Just a blank gray space.
And isn't that what we want? Let's all together shake our Etch a Sketches and start anew.
Yeah. Smooth out those brain lines and start from scratch because that's all we have.
All right. Well, we love you guys. And until next time, please
keep it spooky. Ruined is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, and Houston Snyder. Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa.
Buy now and make no payments until fall. That's right. At Jeff Weiler's Columbus Auto Mall, drive today with no down payment and no payments for 120 days. Whether it's a car, truck, or SUV, why wait? Shop hundreds of vehicles, all with no payments till fall. Hurry into the Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall, where the deals won't wait, and neither should you. Find us on Gender Road or jeffweilercolumbusautomall.com.
One of the largest Star Wars fan collections in the world is coming to Kosai. Unofficial Galaxies opens on May 10th, and this is a one-of-a-kind exhibition with iconic characters, props, legendary ships, costumes, and behind-the-scenes secrets. It's going to be a must-see whether you're a hardcore Star Wars fan or just curious about one of the most famous sci-fi franchises of all time. Unofficial Galaxies is coming to Kosai starting on May 10th, so get your tickets now at Kosai.org.
Riley Herbst from 2311 Racing here, and you know what grinds my gears? Waiting for coffee. But instead of counting frappes and lattes, I fire up Chumba Casino. No apps, no fuss, just fun social casino games to pass the time. By the time my coffee's ready,
order for Riley.
I've already taken a few victory laps. Next time you're stuck waiting, make it entertaining. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.